here. Well, he's not a project. He's the one that's actually heading up the project, and that is Lighthouse Baptist Printing Ministry out of South Dakota. But Lighthouse is located at Liberty Baptist Church. I said that wrong for the first 6 or 7 months, but we were actually supporting them. And so it's good to have them. And I was reaching out to them actually to say, hey, we'd like to have you later this year. And they said, we are not available until November. And he said, oh, wait a minute. We're actually coming through Denver. We're flying out of Denver this week. So this would be the only Sunday, but it's Resurrection Sunday. I said, come on down. So they're actually staying in our mission apartment downstairs. And so we are thankful for Mike and Lisa being here, and he's going to give us an update on what's going on with the printing ministry and all of the things that they have done. I believe there's a short little video as well that we will have. And so you're going to give a little bit of your background as well, because most of our folks don't know you.
Yes, sir.
And so if you could just make sure your thing is on and we are good to go. Come on up, brother.
All right. Amen. Well, good morning. Good morning. It is very good to be here. They're expecting 4 to 6 inches of snow in Rapid City up in South Dakota, and I'm thankful that we're here today, so we don't have to contend through that. We were looking ahead and seeing the snow coming, and then Pastor, just the timing, Pastor sent me an email and said, when can you come? And that's, as he mentioned, the Lord worked it out. So I told him that we're planning to come a little sooner because of the weather. And he's like, well, come on. And we have the missions house, the missions apartment there for you. And it's just very comfortable. So thank you for that. And it's just been a blessing to be here already. And thank you for your support of our ministry. Just a little background on who I am and what we do. So I was in the Air Force for 22 years. I retired 2014 now. So it's been 10 years since I retired from the Air Force. And while I was about halfway through my military career, the Lord brought someone through a missions conference. We were in Germany at the time, in Heidelberg, Germany. And a missionary came through there and talked about what he did. And they printed John and Romans booklets. It's portions of the Bible. I think I have one here somewhere. So the John and Romans booklets we printed for you guys a number of years ago. We can probably start some more for you. But so it's the Gospel of John, Book of Romans, and he told us what he did, and we thought that was a neat ministry, how they printed it and sent it around the world. They didn't charge missionaries or anyone for the booklets. So we thought it was neat, but I was still active duty at the time, didn't think much of it. And about I don't know, a couple of assignments after that, we got stationed at the Pentagon. And we're looking for things to do at the church there. We joined a local church, and we're like, well, what can we do? We want to serve. And they said, well, we have this John and Romans ministry where we put together John and Romans booklets. If you want to get involved with it, that's what you can do. So it was very similar to what the missionary talked about when we were there in Germany. He wasn't associated with that particular church, but it was exactly what he talked about. So we're like, well, let's get involved with it. And we did, and we really enjoyed that ministry. And that was about my 20-year point in the military. And I was just getting tired of making coffee for generals and picking up their dry cleaning and doing all that stuff I had to do there at the Pentagon. So the Lord was working on our heart about getting out of the military and going into full-time ministry. We didn't know what that meant at the time, but that's where our heart was. We're like, okay, Lord, wherever you send us, we're gonna get out and serve you full-time. We don't know what that means, but that was our heart. So we prayed as a family, and we decided together that our next assignment, wherever that was, we're going to just retire after I did my time and serve the Lord. So we got our orders, and it was for Rapid City, South Dakota. That was our final orders that we received. We'd never been up to Rapid City before. Didn't know anybody up there, but that's where the Lord sent us. And every time before we moved, we moved 10 times in 20 years. So every 2 years we'd move with the military. So every time before we got to a place where we knew we were going to go, we would always find a church. So we knew the church we were going to attend before we even found a house where we were going to live in. So in our final assignment there in Rapid City, it was no different. We knew the church we wanted to attend before we even got up there. So then we moved up there, and the first day of the church service comes, we walk into the church, and who do you think we see? We saw that missionary that we met in Germany a couple of years prior, and he remembered us, and he's like, well, what are you doing here? And I told him, we want to serve the Lord full time. Once we get out, I have 2 more years of active duty service before I can retire. And he's like, well, I want to talk to you about something. Why don't you come over to my house for a meal? Let's chat. So we did that. And this is really a week or so later. And he's already calling us over. And he's like, I've been praying for 10 years for someone to come and take over this ministry. Because he was getting older. He was in his 60s, I think, at the time, maybe even his 70s. So he was getting ready to retire. He said, I've been praying for 10 years for someone to take this ministry over. Why don't you pray about it and see what the Lord does? So we took 30 days to pray about going into the ministry. And I hadn't even unpacked our stuff yet from moving up there. And the Lord was already opening the doors for us to go into full-time ministry. But I had to finish 2 more years of active duty service, which we did. And the transition worked out really well. So 2014. Retired from the Air Force and went right into full-time service for the Lord and printing John Roma's booklets. So we've been doing that for 10 years, traveling around, really around the world. In the last, I guess the ministry's been around for about 38 years, 38 more or plus years. And in that time, we printed over 8 million copies of the John Roma's booklets, sent them to 24 different countries, 25 different countries, and 13 different languages. So that's kind of the big scope of what we do in our ministry, not only overseas, but also locally in the United States. We print for church planters, new churches or churches that are existing that want to just, get the word of God into the homes of their community. And this isn't a personalized booklet, but we can personalize the booklets with the church information, the service times, all those things. So we do that for new churches that are starting. In fact, we're doing one for New York. 25,000 of them we're sending to New York, and I just finished an order yesterday for a church in Washington. I can't even pronounce the name of Washington State, but they want 3,000 of them. So we travel across the United States throughout the year trying to raise funds, because we don't charge missionaries for what we do, or churches, really. It's really just a faith-based ministry. So we provide as the Lord provides, and when we go around to other churches, we need money for paper and shipping and equipment costs. Everything costs money, right? So we don't charge the missionaries or churches for that. But churches such as this one that supports our ministry, that money goes into a paper fund, a shipping fund, or an equipment fund, and that money builds up. So then when it comes time to print for 25,000 or 3,000, the funds are there, and we're able to do that for these missionaries. So we also get an opportunity to travel around the world. I've been to the Philippines twice now. My wife came with me just this past January, and I have a video here. I'm going to show you that. So when we print large projects like that, we would send a 20-foot shipping container full of those booklets and Bibles and tracts. We'd send that to that missionary either in Philippines or Africa or wherever. So right now we're working on a project for Africa, from Malawi, Africa. We're sending a 20-foot shipping container there. Probably got about 250,000 copies of John Romans. There's going to be some tracts in there as well. So we're going to send that over to the missionaries, and as soon as it gets there, I mean, it gets distributed. It doesn't sit. They want to get the word of God out. People are hungry for the gospel. So we're working on that right now, and we're a little bit short on the shipping. So in order to do a big project like that from start to finish, it's about a $43,000 to $45,000 project. By the time we get all the paper and the ink and the boxes and the shipping costs, all those things. So everything is paid for that particular project except for the shipping. So we're about $5,000 short on the shipping portion of that. So this spring, we're going to go around and we're trying to raise those funds from other churches. We have a number of churches that we're scheduled to visit in, and we just present the need, and sometimes the Lord provides right there. Someone will come up and say, here's their $5,000. Praise the Lord. And that's a blessing. That's happened a couple times, believe it or not. And other times people give $10, $5, $100, whatever it is. That all goes to the ministry. Because I'm retired from the Air Force, I don't look at money, getting money for myself. I'm not like a traditional missionary that is on the road trying to raise support so they can continue to survive. So we don't need that. I mean, the Lord's provided military retirement for me to take care of our personal needs. So everything we do is centered around ministry. If we do get any love offerings for us personally, that goes into the ministry, paying for fuel or travel, whatever. But we always try to emphasize the need for paper, for shipping equipment, those kinds of things, because that's the most important. So we're working on that right now. After Malawi, Africa, we're going to be printing for the Philippines again, but a different portion of the Philippines. What you're going to see here was kind of south central, I guess, Philippines, a place called Tacloban, Philippines. We're going to be printing for Manila, which is a little bit further north, northeast maybe, I don't know. But there are different dialects in the Philippines. There's at least three or four. We printed for the southern Philippines in 2020, and that was in the Visayan language or the Cebuano. We did that one. The one we just sent this past time was, that was Ilocano. And then we're doing Tagalog is the next translation there. So that kind of in a nutshell is our ministry. What I want to do is show you this video here. And this kind of encapsulates from start to finish. When you support missions or when you support missionaries, at least for our ministry, it really makes a difference because we're getting the gospel. We're getting God's word into the hands and hearts of people who've never had it before. You'll see that these people, they can't even afford. This costs us less than 20 cents to print. But if they were to buy this in the Philippines, it'd be maybe $1, $2, $3, whatever they would charge for this. They can't even afford this. So that's why we do what we do, because we want to get the gospel to these people, because they need the word of God. The word of God is what's going to change their lives. It's not going to be, you know, the money. It's not going to be how much they have, what they have, anything like that. Because when you think about eternity, eternity is forever. Here on the earth is temporary. We're only here for a certain amount of time. And then our body, we're physically going to die. But our soul is going to live forever somewhere. And that somewhere, if you believe in Jesus Christ, is heaven. But if they're never told, and we'll get into this maybe a little bit, I have a scripture to share with you. But if, you know, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they know the gospel unless people are sent? So that's kind of the essence of supporting missions and missionaries. So here in this video, I had the opportunity to see from start to finish to help print the Bible, the Gospels, to pack up the containers, to send it over there, and then to be on the other end and to give them out. So that's what we did. We had the opportunity to go into a number of schools, and the public schools there are very, very open to the Bible and to the Gospel. They allowed us to preach, and they allowed us to teach Bible there in the Philippines in public schools. Now, imagine that in the United States. That would never happen here in the United States, right? But in the public school, I mean, you'll see there's hundreds of them in an assembly. We're able to preach to them. We went from classroom to classroom preaching and teaching, and a number of people made professions of faith. So we did that. We actually had opportunity to do a medical missions. So before we met their physical needs, we would meet their spiritual needs. So we preached to them. We gave them a copy of the John Romans, and we taught them the Bible. Many of them came to make decisions for Christ. So we did that. We did soul winning. And that particular church that we were at, they've been there for 30 years. But in the time that they've been there, they did not have their own running water. They had no running water at all. They had to rely on the government to provide water and stuff like that. So it was very intermittent. But while we were there, we had the opportunity to provide a water pump for them. And someone dug the well, so now they have their own running water. So you'll see all that on the video here. So if you're ready with the video, go ahead and start it up. And then be thinking about some questions, and we'll open it up for questions.
Oh,
Of when you give to missions and support missionaries, at least for our ministry, that's what we do. And we want to get the Word of God out there so we can see souls saved. You had plenty of opportunity to talk to the students there in the schools and then the young kids. My wife had a chance to teach them, and it was just a great opportunity. And it was really interesting, as you saw in some of the pictures, we tower over some of these Filipino people. And we're kind of like a spectacle because they don't see, you know, tall white Americans often. So we're in the mall, and they have some pretty modern malls over there. So we're going up the escalator. We just happen to look down at this one Levi's store, and they're all looking up at us like, wow. And they're just like pointing to us, and they're just infatuated. So we're like, all right, we got to go back there on our way down. So that's what we did. When we're done upstairs eating or whatever, we came back down. We visited with them in the store. And we shared the gospel with them. We gave them all of John Romans, and they're just excited. And you can't do that in America. I mean, you probably get arrested for sharing the gospel or preaching or whatever. And especially in schools, you can't do that here. And they're just so open there in the Philippines to be able to do that. Some of the other things from their trip. So there's 30 pastors there. A lot of the pastors that came, they could barely afford to get there, but they'll do almost anything to listen to preaching. So it was a 3-day conference, and some of them came from 4.5 hours away. Some of them had to take a bus, a bike, and walk to get to the church, just to get there. And there was no really accommodations for them at all while they were there. Some came with their families, and they wound up sleeping on the floor of the church with their families for the whole time that they were there. But they did not complain about it. And those are just some of the things that they're willing to endure in order to come and hear people preach and hear the gospel preached. The one picture there, the young man, he was at one of the schools that we visited with a couple of days prior, and then he showed up for the conference, and he had to walk for an hour to get to the church, and he had to borrow a pair of shoes in order for him to walk to the church. And when he got there, I should have took a picture of the bottom of his shoes, but he showed us the bottom of his shoes. You can see his socks. I mean, there was like nothing there to the bottom of the shoes that he borrowed from somebody. So we wound up buying him a pair of shoes, and that's what the picture was there. So it's just, there's so many needs over there. I remember one time we were doing the medical missions. A lady was trying to look at something, and I just had a cheap pair of reading glasses, and she couldn't read, so I gave her my reading glasses, and she was just so happy that she can read now. So you know, just little things like that we had the opportunity to do. So let me just open up for some questions if maybe some things come to mind as I've been talking. And yes, sir.
With regards to the medical missions, a little picture there with some other people, American, European.
So they also, they're missionaries. One of them was a doctor. The other two were the nurses. And they're friends of the pastor of the church there. So the church on occasion does medical missions. So he'll invite doctors and nurses to come while he establishes in the villages some medical missions. And also he had probably 20 or so of the local doctors and local nurses there also, which I didn't get a picture of. But it's a really big deal for these villages because they don't have medical care. So for us to be able to get doctors in there and free supplies, medical needs, and those kinds of things, they'll come. So it's a draw from that perspective. And because of that, we're able to give them the gospel because we have a captive audience. And before they get seen, they'll get the gospel to get preached to. And they'll have an opportunity to accept Christ as their Savior, which is what happened there in all the villages we went to. So. Good question. Yes, sir.
So if someone gives two books out of the New Testament, are they receiving translations or transmissions of the text from scholars, English or from the Greek?
Good question. So everywhere in the Philippines, every sign you see is in English. So they know English. They're taught English. They know they can read it. Everything is in English. So the booklets we were giving them were, at the time, were English booklets. So they have that. They understand that. But the pastor would preach in their native language. So when he's preaching, we're like, what is he talking? We didn't know what he was saying, but they knew. So we would I preach in English. They understood. As you saw when we were in the classroom, I was having them read with me. They were able to read along. So they understand English. But there's a lot of other places that, not that they're not comfortable with English, but they know their native language. So that's why when we provide the Tagalog or the Ilocano or whatever, to have that in their own language, some of the older folks, that they appreciate that because they can relate to that. Maybe not so much with the English, but it's like, wow, this is in my language, and I understand this, and it's the gospel, it's the word of God. So that's what we'd like to see that whenever we can provide that in their own language. So. Good questions. Any others? Yes, sir.
What is the cost of a roll of paper and how much literature can you print on that?
Good question. How much is a roll of paper? So I didn't show it on there, but we have these big rolls of paper that go on our printing press. They're about 1,400 pounds each. And they're probably about as tall as I am. So they're very, very big rolls of paper that go on our printing press. We run the press for every Monday for about 2 hours, and we use two rolls of paper. So each roll of paper costs about $1,100, and it can print about 12,500 portions of the John and Romans, so the John and the Romans. It comes off the press in two parts, and it's perforated. There's a whole process that's involved with it. When it comes off the press, then we have to stack them up, and then we have to put covers on them and those kinds of things. So when it comes off the press, it's about 12,500 portions per one roll. So that's and so every night that we print on a Monday, we can print about 25,000 portions of the John Romans that are ready to be assembled. So that's the printing is one night. The next night we would come and assemble them. So then they'd kind of do what they have to do to collate them, put them together, and put a cover on them. So that's night number two. Then another step is to actually do the cutting and the stapling and the finishing portion of it to put it in boxes. So there's a bunch of different processes that we have to basically get this out in the field. So we have a number of volunteers that help us, not only in our church. We have probably 40 or so volunteers from our church that help us. But we also have other churches around that help us assemble as well. We have a church in Loveland, Colorado, actually, that helps us. We have a church in Custer, South Dakota, Tomah, Wisconsin, and Mitchell, South Dakota, and Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So when I'm not on the road raising funds for the projects, as I mentioned, I'm on the road delivering supplies to those churches so they can help us get the assembling done. Because it takes us about 10 months or so to get a shipping container ready for, filled up and ready to be sent. So we're not a very, very big operation, so it takes us a while to kind of get orders filled and completed. So we have other churches helping us. So I know that was a long answer to your question, but yeah.
New Testament or complete Bibles?
No, we don't. Because we're small and our printing press, we don't have a very large operation. The most we can do is the booklet size. So this is a 64-page booklet in English, but we can do up to 128 pages. Depending on the translation, obviously, it takes a little bit more words and paper to fill up. So some of the translations come out to be about 128 pages of a booklet. So we've done one or two of those. It's a pretty thick booklet, but that's the max that we're able to do, is basically the booklet size. I'd like to be able to do full Bibles one day. Maybe the Lord will provide. We need funds, we need facilities, and all those kinds of things. So, good question. Any other? Yes, sir.
Where's your printing shop located?
So most people are familiar with Mount Rushmore, right? So we're about 50 minutes away from Mount Rushmore. If you've been there before to Rapid City, there's a place called Reptile Gardens. If you have little kids, it's Reptile Gardens. We're right on that main road where Reptile Gardens is, and that's probably 50 minutes away from Mount Rushmore in Rapid City.
Do you have saddle stitchers?
We do. We have we used to use the saddle stitchers. We have a Rossback stapler now, and we have a 3-knife trimmer. That's what we use. And some of the seed line ministries, they have a Rapid 106 saddle stapler, and they have a big guillotine cutter, manual guillotine cutter. So they have to work for doing the booklets, putting it together. But we have a little bit more of an automated process. It's a little easier for us. We can do. So in one night, we can probably get about 9,000 of them completed in 2 hours. So that's kind of our throughput for us. Some other churches, the Seedline churches, maybe they do 1,000 in 2 hours or something. You know, it just depends on how many that they have with them to help out. So that is one of our bottlenecks, is the throughput, the production, because we're using a lot of archaic, really Stone Age equipment. But the Lord's provided, though. Since I was here last time in May, I meant to give this as an update, too, is we received a full-color printer for the covers. So in the past, we were only able to do a single color, which it looked okay, but it was just single color. But now we can do full color from end to end. And glossy stock and all those things. So we have way expanded our design and ability to produce different covers. I mean, I can get a cover done pretty quickly now, and it can be sent to the printer. Whereas in the past, we'd use older presses, and you'd have to do a plate. You'd have to take pictures and get these metal plates and put them on the press and ink. And it would take a long time to do one project. So we would say, well, the minimum order would be 2,000 booklets, because by the time it takes us to set up and get everything ready, now if somebody wants 10 of them, I can do 10 of them. I can do 5 of them, because it's basically like a big copier is all it is, and it prints out the cover. So, I mean, it gives us a lot more flexibility now. So the Lord's blessed us with a full-color cover press. That was $54,000. The Lord brought in the funds for that. So we're thankful for that. We have a new hydraulic cutter that cuts the covers. That was $14,000 or something like that. And then we have a new folder that folds them as well. And that was probably $15,000. So, but the Lord brought in all those funds for us, and we're debt-free, and we praise the Lord for that. So that helps us be more efficient with what we're doing, and it helps us get a good quality product out there, because it's the Word of God, and we don't want it to look cheap. So we're just thankful for all those things. Yes, sir.
Is it the pure text or is it commentary?
What's that?
Is it the pure text or is it commentary?
It's just the text portion. Yep.
Cross-references?
No, we don't have that in there. It's really just the Word of God. Just the John and Romans portion there. Yeah. Good questions. Yes. Any others? Yes, sir. So some of the places we go to, they're not very friendly. They have rebels that are there trying to ambush. When I was in southern Philippines in 2020, there's still a lot of Muslim influence in those areas. So they needed a police escort to make sure they wouldn't bother us. So that was in that area. There was kind of a way away from the city, along out in the village area. So they had some issues in the past there, so they just wanted to make sure that we got there safely and we weren't interrupted or anything like that. So the Lord kept us safe. So, yes, sir, you had a question?
I was going to ask, do the local pastors that are making the arrangements, are you going to be able to go into the schools?
Yes. So while we were there, the local pastor, he actually, we met with the principal and the director of the region. We sat down with them and basically told them what we wanted to do. Or the pastor was saying, look, we want to do this consistently, not just today. So he actually was able to establish a consistent, I think, weekly or at least a monthly meeting with the students to be able to teach and preach the Word of God in the schools. So yeah, that was just really neat to see that. And when I was in the Philippines in 2020 as well, similar thing. We'd go there and they're very open to the gospel. They let us preach and teach in the schools, and it's just really amazing to see. It's just a totally different spirit over in the Philippines because of that. You know, the gospel is getting out and people are receptive. I mean, there's a hunger there for truth, and that's what we're preaching. That's what the Bible is. It's truth. And you know, when those containers get there, those John Romans don't stay around. As you saw, those pastors were taking them. I mean, some of those boxes look bigger than the pastors, you know. But they were carting them off, and they wanted to take more, but either they walked there or they took a bike or they, you know, they couldn't carry, you know, multiple boxes because they're 50-pound boxes each. So, but yeah, they love the Word of God, and they want to get the Word of God out there. And the choir, that was the songs from that from the video was from the choir. And it's just amazing, just the spirit of the singing there is so much different than the States. When we came back to even to our home church, when we got back the very next service and this choir started singing, we have a good choir, but I turned to my wife, I'm like, there's nothing like the Philippines. I mean, they got nothing on the Philippines, man. They're just so, so good. So but we really enjoyed our trip. I enjoyed being there. So, yes, sir.
Who are you working with?
Yes, so there was a previous American missionary that was there, John Fulford, in Malawi, Africa. He turned the work over to another American missionary, Eric Curtis, I believe. Curtis is his last name. And Bearing Precious Seeds, some people are familiar with that organization. They're a much larger organization than we are. They do a lot of printing of Bibles and those things. Bearing Precious Seed, they're actually printing full Bibles for folks in Malawi. I forget the name. It's not for Brother Curtis. It's for another American missionary that's over there. So they kind of joined together. So we don't generally put someone asked a question. I think you asked a question maybe last night. You know, do we personalize the booklets for the missionaries in Africa or Philippines? We don't put anything on the back of you know, like what church they're from, because they get distributed all over the country. It's not just for that one local church. So it's not going to just, if you put that local church's information on the back, well, that John Romans may wind up 500 miles away in another location at another church. So we don't personalize the booklets for them, but we provide them for them there. So they at least have the gospel and they get sent out. So good questions. Any others? God's been really good to our ministry. And like I said, we've been doing this for 10 years plus now, and we enjoy it. We love it. We love just being able to go around, visit churches and share God's word, and go into conferences as well. We go to other church planning conferences, meet new pastors that are establishing churches, and we can provide for them, because for them to go into a community, they don't have a lot of money when they're first starting. So anything they can get resource-wise to help them get the word out about their church or, you know, about the gospel. So I love being able to do that as well and provide for those pastors, and it just works out really good. So, all right, any other questions? All right, I'll just share just a couple things here real briefly. Oh, yes, sir. Sure. Mm-hmm. So basically what that is like I mentioned, I bring supplies to these churches, and they have a group of volunteers that help do the saddle stapling and the cutting of the booklet. So in order to get involved with that, it's a couple $1,000 startup cost, because we don't buy anything. We just let the churches know what's involved, and if the church really desires to want to move forward with that, then they would have to put forth the funds, get the volunteers and all that. So it would require a couple of staplers, and those staplers, actually we just looked it up. They don't make the Rapid 106 anymore. That's a good stapler. There's kind of an offshoot brand of it, and the Rapid 106 is we're going for about $500 each. But they don't make those anymore. So there's another brand out there. It's about $150 per stapler that we saw. So that's out there, maybe $200 a stapler. So if you need two, maybe three staplers to get started, so figure $600 for that. You'll need a cutter as well to be able to cut the booklets properly. So the cutting machine is it can range anywhere from a couple $1,000 to a couple $100. It really depends on, you know, where you find it, if it's in good shape, you know, those kinds of things. Some of those cutters are very heavy, and they need a special power requirement. So they would need what they call three-phase power. So you can't just plug it into the wall. It's a separate hookup you need for that. Matter of fact, I transported one a couple months ago to a church in Mitchell. It was a big hydraulic cutter, three-phase cutter. It was 2,000 pounds. I had it on the pallet jack. I rolled it into his shed, and the pallet jack went right through the floor. So they are pretty heavy, and they're bulky, and they're big. So that leads to you're going to need a location to store the material, a location to get the material in and out, something that's easy enough to, you know, get a pallet rolled in and out, pallet jack rolled in and out, and a place for your equipment to be, you know, in one place to where it's going to be safe and little fingers aren't going to get in on it or anything like that. So that's kind of the basics there. And I know for us right now, we're kind of limited. We really can't take on any other more churches because of we're not a big operation. Like I said, we have a few of them out there right now that are helping us. And if the Lord provides and we're able to print more frequently, then we can maybe provide to other churches to, you know, get started. But it is a good ministry for a lot of the senior saints. We have a lot of senior saints come that because maybe they can't go knock on a door, or they can't go a soul winning, but they can sit down and they can assemble the Word of God. And it makes them feel like they're involved and they're contributing to a ministry. And it is a good ministry for them. So we see a lot of the seed line churches, a lot of the volunteers are some of the senior folks, which is good. But the material that has to get moved around is pretty heavy. So a lot of the senior folks can't lift some of these bundles. So it's kind of a mixture of the senior and some of the young folks to help out with that. So does that answer your question, sir? So we actually had a church in Casper, Wyoming. We met with them last month, and they're actually going to be getting started. We can't quite do them full time, but they got some staplers. They got a cutter and a folder. So when we get back from this trip, we're leaving on Tuesday. We're going, and this is for ministry. We're going to Hawaii, but it is ministry. We're going to visit some churches there and try to raise some support. But when we get back from that trip, then I'm going to go to Casper and make a delivery and kind of show them how to do the seed line ministry work. And we're not going to be able to support them. Usually every quarter is when I would go support all of our seed line ministries, but we may not be able to provide them that frequently because we don't have enough scripture to print to give to them. So as we have extra, we'll probably provide for them. But yeah, so that's how I know the numbers, the cost of some of those pieces of equipment. So, amen. All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When are you going to return to the Philippines?
So we get
somebody want to go with you. What would they have to do? That's impossible.
So that's a good question. Sure. Well, I know there's a pastor in Alaska that wants to go over there. I met him at a conference, and it's not up to me. It's up to the pastor, the local pastor there. And it's not like he sets up a big missions trip for a church to come, because everyone's got to obviously pay their way. So he set it up to establish for us to come and for the doctors to come, and it wasn't a big open missions trip kind of a thing. So I guess I can ask if you know, if there's room, because she didn't come with me the first time because there was no room for spouses. We had to sleep on the floor or share a bed with somebody or whatever. It was, I mean, guys were sleeping in the sheds and stuff like that, or in the treehouse. So, you know, you don't know what conditions you're going to be in. So it's not like one of those you go there in a hotel, you get a buffet. It was a little bit of a hardship. So depending on where we go. Like the one, we may go back to Manila in 2025 or go to Manila. We haven't been there yet. The pastor had made an interest in having us come so we can hand out the John Romans, but I don't know if he's going to open that up to a general thing. But I can ask, and if it is open and they have space for folks, then folks are going to have to get their own transportation and, you know, food. So there's a whole logistics tail to that 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 I didn't even have to worry about because they took care of all that for us. But on a larger scale, I'm not sure how that would work out. But as we have opportunity, I can mention it and see if there's room for more folks to come. But I would totally encourage, if you ever have an opportunity to go on a missions trip anywhere, do it. You know, the Bible says your eye affects your heart, and it really does. When I went to the Philippines the first time, boy, I tell you, I was crying like a baby when I saw, you know, all these people coming to accept Christ as their Savior. They're just so open to the gospel and just so genuine and all that. It just really impacted me. And I know when I went back the second time, I mean, if I had to go anywhere in the world, I would go back to the Philippines. I mean, if America starts going down the tubes or whatever, I'm going to the Philippines, because, I mean, they are just, they love the Lord and they're just such a good spirit there. So, amen. Well, I think my time is just about up, Pastor. So any other questions or anything? All right. Well, let me just share a verse with you real quick, see if I can find it. So just a thought that I had this morning in Acts, I think it was Acts, where we're Acts 24. I'm thinking about the resurrection today. Where is it? Acts 24, not 26. Where are you? So Jesus is crucified on the cross in Acts 23 and Acts 24, verses 1 through 6. Basically, when the angel comes to the women wanted to prepare Jesus' body after he died, and they had to wait a couple of days. So they finally get to the sepulcher there. And they see the angel there, and he says, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And that stuck out to me this morning as I was reading that. And it's like, okay, you know, that's something good for us to think about too. You know, so many times that we are trying to fill that void with other things, but those things could be alcohol, could be cigarettes, could be whatever worldly things are out there. We try to use that to fill that void and to make us feel like we're alive. Well, the angel is there, and he's there in the graveyard. And, you know, the sin in our lives is like the representation of that graveyard. You know, why seek ye the living among the dead? You know, why are we trying to live in the world and do these things that are not going to benefit us? Where Christ, you know, Christ died for our sins. He took our sins upon the cross, and he took all that. And if you go to look in the grave of Muhammad or Buddha, right, you go to their grave, you're going to still find their bones there, right? But you won't find that with Christ. Christ rose again. And that was just an interesting thing. I don't have time to develop that. But I like what it says also in verse 3 in Luke. Let's see if I can find that. I lost my place here. But where they said that when they finally showed up, they were much perplexed. And so they were much perplexed. They couldn't believe, well, where's Jesus? He should be here. You know, why isn't he here? And they're just perplexed. They couldn't understand that why he wasn't there. And, you know, sometimes for us as well, you know, sometimes we're much perplexed. You know, I don't understand what this whole thing about Jesus and what he did for us. You know, and there's a lot of things I don't understand about the Bible. But the Bible doesn't tell us we need to understand everything. But it does tell us we have to believe. And that's the main thing that I just wanted to communicate this morning. We have to believe. We may not understand it all. We may not understand how, you know, Christ rose from the dead and all those things, or how he took the sins of the whole world upon the cross for us. But the Bible says believe. And that's the main thing for us that we need to do, is just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And it says whosoever. So that means anybody. It doesn't matter where or when. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So praise the Lord for Resurrection Sunday today. Thank you for your time and the questions. If you have any more questions, we'll be here throughout the day. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come and give me this opportunity. I know it was short notice to speak and just to give an update, but thank you very much. Yes, sir, one more question. Yes, we do. We have a couple, and come see us, and we'll give them out. But, let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, again, for this time you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to just update the church here, and what a blessing. Good questions. I pray, Lord, that you bless the rest of the service today. And, Lord, that through it all, you get all glory, honor, and praise. And we love you, Lord, and thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.